want you to think with me about something very personal. I want you to think about what you combat. What is it that you battle personally? And you know our three enemies. They're very obvious. Satan, the world, and our flesh. Satan has an agenda to keep you off mission. We know he's our enemy, and we know he's the real enemy. We live in a world that has a cultural current, that has a gravitational pull that draws us down and away from God and into darkness. We know that. But our third enemy is our flesh, and we have to combat our flesh. That is our sinful nature. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. In other words, we have a bent toward sin. And you feel that battle on the inside. You feel that war that rages on the inside. And that's why Paul said, those things that I want to do, I don't do, in Romans 7. And those things that I don't want to do, that I keep on doing. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And then he says, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul, even as a seasoned man of God, who wrote almost two-thirds of the New Testament, is acknowledging this inner warfare that we have to engage in. Your flesh. So what I want to do this morning, I want to have some fun with this in that I want us to act as though Satan doesn't exist. He has no influence over us. Wouldn't that be nice? The reality of that will not happen until we get to heaven. But let's just pretend that he's no longer an enemy. Let's pretend that the cultural current, this gravitational pull of the worldly system no longer impacts us at any level. That your only enemy is you, your flesh, your fleshly cravings, your appetite. Let's just deal with that, that you're combating yourself and your propensity to sin. Now hang on to that thought and turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Why is it that you can be a follower of Jesus Christ, that you can be a child of God, a Christian, and still sin? How can you be a follower of Jesus Christ, be a Christian, and still combat temptation and yield to it, give in to it, and be drawn into darkness? How can that happen? John chapter 8 is our text, verse 12. This is the second I am saying of Jesus Christ, and I hope you have your sermon listening guide ready to go. It's in your worship folder for you. We have a few blanks to fill in. And then I want to do something very special at the end of the message. I'm going to have what's called an old-fashioned altar call. Do you know what that is? An old-fashioned altar call. I'm going to invite you at the end of this message. If you want to come to know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, if you want to be saved today, I'm going to invite you to come forward. Just like when I was a child, I walked down the aisle and came to the preacher. I'm going to invite you to come down the aisle. So find your aisle, and that's where you're going to come down if you want to be saved. Now, I'm also going to extend a public invitation for those of you who know the Lord but want to surrender your life to the Lord afresh and anew, just a new surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you to come forward. And then a third group of people, those who just have prayer needs and just something that you're lingering in or longing for or something that is overwhelming you and you just want somebody to pray for you, I'm going to invite you to come. It's an old-fashioned altar call, and it's coming here in just a few moments. John chapter 8, verse 12, when you're there, would you say amen? Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. There's the tension. But will have the light of life. Let's read it again. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Well, this morning, what I want to do is give you three steps to being light in a dark world. Now, that's quite an assignment that we've been given by God, that God has called us into the light. God has called us to be light in this dark world that we live in. So the question is, how can we be light in such a dark, dreary world? Well, let me give you three steps. Number one, receive the light. That's the non-negotiable. Number one, receive the light. Notice what Jesus says in his second I am saying of Christ. His second I am saying, he declares, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. He's unveiling his identity. He's unveiling the reality of who he is. I am the light of the world. Now, to understand that declaration in its context, it's very important that you understand where Jesus is. When he speaks forth those words publicly, he's in Jerusalem at the temple in what's called the Court of Women. Now, in the Court of Women, it's on the outer skirts of the temple. You have the Court of Women that both men and women could be a part of, that experience in that environment. That's where the temple treasury was, because they wanted to make sure that the women were included in giving their tithes and offerings. And it's there that Jesus pronounces this amazing declaration, I'm the light of the world. Now, what the people are thinking and what they're seeing is very interesting. They were at the temple for what's called the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, commemorating whenever the children of Israel, their forefathers, had wandered through the wilderness, how God instructed Moses to establish what was called the tabernacle. That is the portable church in the Old Testament. The tabernacle for some 2 million Jews. And the tabernacle was erected so beautifully and intricately where God would manifest his glory. God would manifest his presence. And during the day, God would lead the children of Israel with a pillar of cloud. A cloud, a glory cloud during the day. But at night, how would God lead the people? Pillar of fire. God would lead them. And so wherever the glory cloud went during the day, wherever the pillar of fire went at night, they would go. And that's why it had to be portable church. Because whenever the cloud moved, when the glory cloud moved, when the pillar of fire moved, when the presence of God moved, the people would move with God. Oh, that's been such a dream that God's put in my heart at an early age, age 16, when God called me to preach, that I would have the privilege of pastoring a church that would just move with God. Move with God. This pillar of fire, Feast of Tabernacles, this feast being celebrated in Jerusalem, and Jesus in the Court of Women where the temple treasury is speaking during the feast. And you would see at night, right behind Jesus, would be four massive candelabra, beautifully illuminating the Court of Women. And there Jesus, with this illumination behind him, declares, I am the light of the world. It was a profound moment. It was a divine moment of Jesus revealing his true identity. Now, what does it mean to receive the light? Write down John 12:36. In fact, I have it in your notes for you. You can just circle it. Here's what the Bible says. We'll have it on the screens for you. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. What Jesus is saying, he was there present before them, saying to them, while you have the light, Jesus, in front of you, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. So what's the key word? Believe. What's it mean to believe? It means to place your total faith and trust and confidence in. I love this illustration. It's so basic, but it's so real. How many of you walked into this ballroom for our worship experience and you picked up your chair, turned it upside down to look to make sure the screws were screwed in really tightly, and then you just checked the legs, make sure they were firm, turn it back over, make sure the material was really tight? How many of you did that before you sat down? Would you raise your hand? No one. You just walked in and sat down. Why? Because you believed the chair would hold you. You place your faith in the chair. And to come to Jesus Christ as the light of the world, to receive the light, capital L, to receive the light, you must believe. You must believe Jesus is who he said he is. You must believe that Jesus died on the cross as a sinless sacrificial lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, that you believe that Jesus died in your place, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, what happened? He rose from the grave. Then he walked upon the earth for 40 days, was witnessed by some 500 people, and then he ascended to the Father, where right now he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and you will receive the light. I remember that decision, and I don't ever want to get over getting saved. March 28, 1979, when I simply believed that Jesus was who he said he was, and I understood that without Jesus, I was going to hell, and I invited Jesus into my life to take over my life. And here's what happened in that transaction that I've talked about many times. He removed my sin and imputed his righteousness. He removed my sin and imputed, deposited his righteousness. And the same happened in your life. The moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, in that moment, your sin is placed as far as the east is from the west, and his righteousness is deposited into your account. So that when God sees you, he sees you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ as the child of God. So you receive the light by believing the light. Love John 12:46. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever, don't you love the whoever? Whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. I'm so thankful Jesus included whoever, because whoever means me, whoever means you, whoever means anyone on this planet who places their faith in Jesus alone for salvation shall be saved. And there's not a person beyond the reach of God's grace. There's not a person in darkness that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot penetrate. Believe. Whoever believes. And that literally means whoever. So what's step number one? Say it with me. Receive the light. Here's step number two. Walk in the light. I've received the light. I have placed my faith in Jesus alone for salvation. I've had this divine transaction. I have a testimony. I've been saved by the grace of God. I've been delivered from the clutches of the enemy. I have been pulled out of the kingdom of darkness, and I've been placed, hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah in the Baptist church? I have been placed in the kingdom of light. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you have been saved by the grace of God, delivered out of the kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of light, you now have a message worth sharing and a light worth declaring. You walk in the light. But first you receive the light. Now Jesus, the light of the world, lives inside of me. And it's not about me living the Christian life. It's all about Jesus living his life in me and through me. That's what enables me to walk in the light. Now here's what Jesus says. Look at verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. There's the key. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Now, don't miss this. Jesus will never lead you into darkness. Jesus will never guide you into sin. Jesus will never navigate your path toward sin. Jesus, as the light of the world, living inside of you, calls you to walk in the light as he is in the light. And as you walk in the light, you are following Jesus. As you follow Jesus, you're walking in the light. Now, let me ask you a question. Listen carefully. Can you be a follower of Jesus Christ and embrace darkness? Now, that's a trick question. Let me ask it another way. Can you be a Christian and sin? Yes. Can you be designated as a follower of Jesus Christ and sin? The answer, yes. Can you be a follower of Jesus Christ and embrace darkness? The answer is yes. You can be a follower of Jesus Christ. You can be a child of God, a Christian, and still have a propensity to sin. You can still sin. Why? Because you have free will. You can choose to walk in the light, or you can choose to walk in the dark. You can choose to honor God and obey God, or you can choose to dishonor God and disobey God. But listen carefully. Though you can be a follower of Jesus and embrace darkness, you can't be following Jesus and embrace darkness. Because if you're following Jesus, you will never walk in darkness. That's a strong word. Now, here's why it's so convicting. Because we are combating what's called the human condition. Even as children of God, even though we're saved, filled with the Spirit of God, adopted into God's family, we have a new identity. The reality is we still combat our flesh. And remember, our flesh, our sin nature, has appetites that are never fully and finally satisfied on this planet. So your flesh craves the darkness. Your flesh craves sin. And you've heard me use this phrase before, whatever you feed, like a teenager, grows. Whatever you starve, dies. But you cannot be following Jesus and walk in darkness. Why? Because Jesus will never lead you to darkness. But you can be a follower, you can be a Christian, and still embrace darkness because of free will. It's not God's best, and it's not God's way, it's not God's will, but you have the freedom to go in darkness. That is not God's desire for your life. That's why Jesus says, walk in the light. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. I love Ephesians 5:8, how Paul packages this for the church at Ephesus, and it applies to us. For at one time you were darkness. In other words, you were lost, separated from God. You were not a child of God. You were not a follower of Jesus Christ. For at one time you were darkness. Now, church family, dial in for a moment. Don't forget where you were when Jesus came to your rescue. You were darkness. I was darkness. But now, hallelujah, but now you are light in the Lord. That is, you've had a conversion. You've had a divine transaction. Something has happened on the inside of you that has changed your identity. Jesus has moved in to take residence in your life, and you're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Now here's what he says. Walk as children. Walk as children of the light. Now that you've been saved, now that you're filled with the light of Jesus Christ, he lives inside of you. Walk as children of the light. Walk as children of the light. And let his light shine in you, and let his light shine through you. 1 John 1:5-8, so unpackages this concept of Jesus being the light of the world, and whoever follows him will not walk in darkness. I love this. 1 John 1:5-8, this is a message we've heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light. Say that with me. God is light, and in him, in God, is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him, I'm in fellowship with God. While we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, and that's his desire, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. We have koinonia. And fellowship just means fellows in the same ship. We are together. We're in unison. We're in unity. For we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. Don't miss verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we have a choice to make. To embrace darkness or to embrace light. And listen, it's not a one-time decision. On March 28, 1979, when I turned from sin and trusted in Jesus alone for salvation, and I became a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, I didn't get delivered from everything. It's an ongoing process of working out what God has worked in. And I still have to combat this old sin nature, this old flesh, and I will have to combat it till the day I die. Can I tell you a story? Years ago, I was in the Mall of Alexandria, and I saw a seasoned pastor, and I mean seasoned. He had been pastoring over 50 years. Then I saw another pastor friend of mine who was in his late 20s. And then I talked to both of them a moment, then I went off, and then they sat down by that cookie place that has the double doozies that I really love with M&Ms. That's where they sat, right in front of it. I mean, how do you sit there and not eat one? And as they were talking, my friend who reconnected with me later said as they were sitting there, this beautiful, beautiful young lady walked past wearing a miniskirt. And my friend said, man, I had to just keep guarding my eyes and looked over here. And then I saw this seasoned pastor, and he was doing the same thing. And he said, I looked to the seasoned pastor and said, you mean to tell me that's tempting to you too at your age? He said, son, you never get over it. It's a constant battle. What he was saying was that your sin nature is a constant battle. And until you get to heaven and receive your glorified body, you have to combat this sin nature. And I love how John paints it in the portrait of you cannot have fellowship with God, intimacy with God, and then walk in darkness. They do not coexist. So what that is saying is, if you, as a believer, as you embrace darkness, if you embrace sin, you have just hindered fellowship with God. It's like kinking a water hose that had a lot of pressure coming through the nozzle, and it's kinked, and all of a sudden it loses its pressure. Whenever we embrace sin at any level, it hinders our fellowship with God. Because you can't have fellowship with God and fellowship with darkness at the same time. I love this Matt Chandler quote. No one has lied to you more than yourself. So if you need forgiveness, you confess your sin to God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. God is faithful. And will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And to confess sin means to say the same thing about your sin that God says about it. That's what confession is. And when you confess your sin to God, it is not to bring God up on your sin. It's like, God, I'm going to let you know what I've been doing. You do not have to bring God up on your life. He already knows every detail of your life. There's nothing hidden from God's sight. He's all-knowing, He's all-seeing. So confessing sin is not to illuminate God. Confessing sin is to illuminate you about your sin and my sin before a holy God. So confessing sin is not to bring God up on our sin. It's to acknowledge our sin before a holy God. It's so that we don't minimize sin. It's that we say the same thing about sin that God says about it. And then He cleanses us and forgives us from all unrighteousness. So for forgiveness, you go to God. Why? Because sin thrives in darkness. Sin thrives in darkness. So you don't walk to God. You run to God. I don't know if you've had this experience, but in my life personally, I don't know what it is about me. But there's something in me when there's any element of sin in my life, if I've embraced any sin in my life at any level, even a fraction, something in me says, get cleaned up, then go to God. And I battle with that. And I don't know why I still battle with, I've got to get cleaned up so that I can go to God. If you got in a car wreck and got all bloody and beat up, do you go home and get a shower, get all cleaned up, and then go to the ER to get bandaged up? No. And the same is true to go to God for forgiveness. You don't get cleaned up so you can go to God. You go to God so that you can get cleaned up. And you don't walk to Him. You run to Him. You pursue Him. And you're broken before Him, acknowledging your sin and my sin and His holiness and receiving His forgiveness and cleansing. So for forgiveness, you confess your sin to God. For healing, you confess your sin to a godly friend. Confess your sin to a godly friend. Why? You've heard me use this phrase. It so connects with me. When you bring sin into the light, it loses its bite. Satan does his best work in secret, and what he wants you to do is to keep your sin secret. Even just between you and God. God knows about your struggles. God knows about your battle. You just keep it between the two of you. And you just come over here, confess your sin, and go back into darkness. Go over here, confess your sin, and go back into darkness. But don't ever tell anybody. Because you can just keep that path hot and heavy, back and forth. Just sin, forgiveness, sin, forgiveness, sin, forgiveness. Just between you and God. And Satan's okay with that. When you confide in a godly friend, you bring sin into the light, it loses its bite. And because Satan thrives in secrecy, when you go public with your sin with a godly friend, secrecy is eliminated. And the power of Satan no longer has a stronghold in your life. Now, be guarded and careful who you go public with your sin on. And make sure it's a godly woman, if you're a woman, or a godly man, if you're a man. and go in brokenness and humility and say, I'm struggling. And I want somebody to know because I'm tired of living this life of sin in secret. And watch the victory that will overwhelm you as you go public with a godly friend with your battle. That's healing. You bring sin into the light, it loses its bite. So step number one, receive the light. Step number two, walk in the light. Here's step number three, reveal the light. Reveal the light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. So if I'm walking in darkness, I'm not following Jesus. And then he says, whoever follows me will have the light of life. That is possession. I have the light of life as a follower of Jesus Christ. And what Jesus is saying is that when you're in Christ, you have the light of life living inside of you. He lives inside of you. And the question is, will you conceal the light or reveal the light? What do you think God's will is? To conceal or to reveal? Say it with me, reveal. That's God's will, to reveal the light. I love Matthew 5, 14 through 16. This will be familiar to many of you. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. In other words, reveal the light of Jesus. Reveal the light of Jesus. It makes me want to sing, though I don't sing really good. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't leave me there. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. The light of Jesus Christ inside of you is to be revealed to others around you. Philippians 2, 14 and 15, do all things without grumbling or disputing that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. That's where God has planted us, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Do you remember at Christmas time, some neighborhoods do this, they put sand in the bottom of a paper bag and they put a little votive candle in it, light it at night, and it just lines the streets. They're called luminaries. And you know, that's such a beautiful picture of what God's called us to be in our dark world. Luminaries for the Lord. Look at me. Luminaries for the Lord. Luminaries for the Lord. Not a loser, but a luminary for the Lord. Everybody do that with me. A luminary for the Lord. Now do it just like this. Luminary for the Lord. That ought to be our new signature as a church. We're luminaries for the Lord. Stand with me. Let's do it together. You ready? Let's stand together. We're going to do it together. I'm almost finished preaching. We're going to do this. Here we go. Ready? Get the L out. I'm a luminary for the Lord. I'm a luminary for the Lord. Now look to two people and just shine at them. Say, I'm a luminary for the Lord. I'm a luminary for the Lord. Come on, turn around. Somebody behind you. I'm a luminary for the Lord. I'm a luminary for the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. You're a luminary for the Lord. Reveal the light. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. Now, here's the life point. I want you to write this down. This is a powerful concept. Don't miss it. And then we're going to pray. Unless we reveal the light, others will be unable to receive the light. Unless we reveal the light, others will be unable to receive the light. And if they don't receive the light, they will be unable to walk in the light. And if they don't walk in the light, they will be unable to reveal the light. So what's our takeaway? Make Jesus visible. Some of you are going to a very dark environment at home. Make Jesus visible. Some of you are going to a very dark environment related to school. Make Jesus visible. Some of you tomorrow are going to a workplace that's a very dark environment. You may be the only Christian in the workplace. Make Jesus visible. Some of you are going to different environments around the world as God has given you favor with travel. Make Jesus visible. That's our mandate from heaven. Because Jesus is the light of the world.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.